When this first started, and you started finding out from people that they're getting bombarded, they're hearing voices, things are happening to them, what did you think? Did you think they were nuts? Or did you think, well, maybe there's something here?
Well, I don't tend to judge people. In other words, when someone comes to us, they've got a problem. So it really doesn't make a difference at first what the nature of the problem is. We have a person that's suffering.
Right.
And then we bring in the equipment to make some decision about the environment. In other words, as an example, I use an electronic warfare spectrum analyzer. And what that machine is about a $60,000 machine. And what it does is it sits there and it captures any kind of electromagnetic attack that takes place. I mean, even if the attack is a microsecond, it will capture it in its memory. It's mm-hmm. a computer-based system. And, of course, this is the same. This machine was actually developed to develop electronic warfare systems. And they use these things to develop the jamming equipment and the equipment that they use on the battlefield. So we managed to get the same gear, and that's what we do. We go into the person's location. We attempt to sneak the equipment in. Sometimes we'll go in through garages, or we'll sneak the equipment in boxes that don't look like equipment boxes. And we'll get this machine set up, and then we'll let the machine just sit there and monitor everything that's going on and capture any kind of electromagnetic event.
What was the intent of the electronic harassment initially? To drive people crazy? To spy on them? What did they want to accomplish?
Well, my view of it is that what the military has learned, that when you take an attempt to invade another country and you use bombs, missiles, smart missiles, and you blow the infrastructure of a country up. The next thing is, once you're there, you've taken over the country, like Iraq, and then it becomes your burden to rebuild everything that you just blew up.
That's right, with your own money.
With your own money, and of course, that's a part of the sad story of this whole Iraq adventure and the country being in trillions in debt. I think that they put the price tag on Iraq between $1 trillion and $2 trillion. Anyway, what they have learned is that, and also the missiles themselves are $1 million a copy now.
That's right.
Smart missiles that fly by GPS.
Not cheap.
No. So, when you go out and do something like this, you blow up the country, then next thing you finally get the country under control, then you got to spend all this money to attempt to rebuild everything. And, of course, that ends up being problems all along the way when you try to do anything on the other side of the world. So what their decision was to see about making some kind of electronic attack machine that would cause people's brains to go out of whack so that you saturate the enemy on the battlefield or in cities where you've got insurgents and people that are dressed like normal people but are actually the enemy. And you can neutralize their brains in any number of ways. And, of course, on the prior programs, they gave you the information about how we had found out about the biocoding, where they would get individuals' DNA, and then they, using supercomputers, would run algorithms so that when they transmitted this energy, they could take one person and disrupt their brain,
right.
And the person standing next to them doesn't feel anything.
Incredible matching. Incredible matching.
Well, yeah.
Do you think that this recent uprising in the Middle East, all over the place, might be caused by some kind of technology to get people just so whacked out and crazed out that they're doing whatever they're doing?
Well, I think a lot of people are saying that they think that the internet has a great deal to do with it, and that's not a direct brain a machine to brain connection, but of course what they're saying there is that just the people being able to communicate freely.
Yeah.
And believing that the government's not listening to them. But, I have to tell you, we haven't talked in 2 years. And all I can say is here in the United States, in the past 2 years, we have gone so deeply into total surveillance that the total surveillance state is now in place.
It's from these red light cameras to just about everything, Roger.
Well, no, it's really, as an example, I don't know whether you saw this NSA agent that turned whistleblower on 60 Minutes,
no.
A guy named Thomas Drake. Are you familiar with that story?
No, I'm not. Tell me.
Okay. Well, anyway, the article on the internet is basically says the New Yorker sheds new light on NSA's warrantless wiretapping and data mining. And this individual came forward, not so much to say that they were doing all this illegal monitoring, but basically he was saying that the system that they were attempting to develop was a gigantic money pit and it wasn't going to work. But anyway, the interesting part of the article talks about how the Bush administration decided that they would go forward and not any longer regard the United States Constitution relating to taking people's conversations and other information without a warrant. So what happened was, and he says in the article, when they talked to Hayden, the guy that was the that is probably still, I think he's still the head or was the head of NASA, he was asked why the NSA didn't employ privacy protections in the program of listening, and he reportedly told the staffer, "We didn't need them. We had the power," and admitted that the government was not getting warrants for domestic surveillance, so that it could collect data on everyone in the United States. And the article further says that that would cover financial transactions, travel records, web searches, GPS equipment. It says by using fiber optics, he had set up a network that could chart relationships between people. They called the software Thin Thread. Then it also says, I thought was quite interesting, is that they're getting billing records on every U.S. citizen. And then the comment was that they're putting pen registers on everybody in the country. Now, the reference to pen registers is kind of talking about yesteryear where a warrant was cut on a telephone line and they would hook a machine on that would record every number that you dialed.
Okay.
So when they're making this reference to pen registers, they're saying that every time you lift your phone, you are all the numbers that you dial are being allocated to you, and all the incoming numbers, of course, you know, because of the call identification system. And the one other thing, this woman asked Hayden, she says, why the NSA had not chosen to include privacy protections for Americans. She says that he kept not answering. Finally, he mumbled and looked down. He said, "We didn't need them. We had the power." So the arrogance of these people that are behind these agencies like NSA, backed up by the Patriot Act, they no longer think that the Bill of Rights or the United States Constitution is relevant. And we see this all the time where the Patriot Act, especially with the TSA and also Homeland Security, they feel at this point they're excluded by the Patriot Act from any of the protections that our Constitution has guaranteed us.